World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You want why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I couldn't wait to get down here. Monday morning, it's always the same on Monday morning. I couldn't wait to get down here. You know, I Michelle and I were having a discussion this weekend. You know, I do a lot of surfing. I don't mean water surfing. I mean internet surfing. I said, listen, honey, I'm just after the truth. I'm just digging. I want to know. I want to know. I want to know. I just want to know the truth. So I spent a lot of time doing research and, you know, probably, be honest with you, much more time than I probably should. And God bless Michelle. She hangs in there with us. We got into some stuff this weekend. Michelle and I were... Oh, folks, I could take you down some rabbit holes. And Michelle admitted to me that it was troubling her spirit a little bit. She said, and I said, well, honey, listen. Guys, folks, here's what I'm talking to you like I've talked to my wife. Would you rather not know? If there was a tornado coming, let's say a tornado, that would be here in Ohio. We would get a tornado. Let's say that there was a tornado coming. And it was going to go right over the top of your house. Or there was a chance it was going to go over the top of your house. It may be a mile here, a mile here, there. But there was a pretty good chance that there was a tornado coming. Would you want to know? Or would you rather just have the tornado hit your house and then deal with the mess afterward? And I tried to help her to understand that in my own personal life, I rest. My scripture says he will keep those. I'm going to misquote it. He will keep those in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him. And the stuff that I come across, and some of it I believe, I take with a grain of salt, this and that. I'm going somewhere. Hang on. It doesn't trouble me. My spirit's not troubled in any way, shape, or form. I have complete and total trust and rest in the Lord. Now, I'm a little bit apprehensive, maybe, thinking, okay, Lord. How am I going to handle this? What am I going to do? What's my reaction going to be? Or what is the reaction going to be? But somebody help me out there. Don't you want to know? Don't you want to know something's coming? Or you just want to be surprised with it? So the discussion Michelle and I had was, honey, why are you troubled by it? And, you know, she was honest enough to admit that, well, you know, because our life is so peaceful right now and we're with our grandbabies and a lot of you in the same boat. You know what I'm saying? I said, well, yeah, that's why I want to know. That's why I want to know. I'm the patriarch. I want to be able to protect and defend and have them prepared for what surely is coming down around us. And then I really got into this kind of stuff this weekend. I'm going to share some of these with you here in a second. By the way, moving forward with the ordination process, you're going to hear from all of you who want to be ordained moving forward to that this week. We're going to get moving on that. I've been kind of dragging my feet. I told you a couple different reasons why, but we're moving forward with that this weekend. And again, out there, if you want to be ordained, just email me, coachdavelive.com. Say, yeah, I'd like to be ordained. Then we'll get the information on it. But I discovered this. Maybe discovered is not the right word. Came to the realization of this, that like it or not, most people don't really want to know the truth. They really don't. In fact, the scripture says that they would heap up for themselves teachers having itching ears. What does it mean to have an itching ear? It means that you want to hear what makes you feel good. Remember that old dog? Did you ever have one of those dogs get those ear? We had an old dog. We used to get that ear infection, and he'd start digging. And so many ways, that's That's where so many of us are.
I apologize more if you can't get in here. The queue were filled up here this morning. Praise the Lord. And so I did something this weekend. I'm gonna share a little bit of it with you here. Jared, let's go to John chapter 5. Pastor Bill Dunphy gave me this yesterday. He didn't actually give it to me. He preached on this yesterday, and it was embellished even deeper in my heart. Bear with me. Hey, anybody have anything for the good of the group before I dive into this? I should always say that. I'll give you. Some of you may have been stewing all weekend too. Say, yeah, Coach, I want to say something about this. Let me give you a minute.
I was just going to say, when you hear the truth, you got to make a decision. Yeah. You don't want to make a decision because then they're accountable.
That's what makes them uncomfortable, isn't it, brother? Huh? It's not the truth that makes them uncomfortable. It's what they're going to do with it that makes them uncomfortable. That's the issue. Because for the most part, we really don't want to have to do anything. We really don't. We would like to, truth be told, we would all love that smooth sailing, wouldn't we? And so, I apologize for the fact that this isn't smooth sailing. And I'm going to say to those who are in the queue, those who are watching us, I'm thinking specifically of my Facebook page. Somebody explain to me why people get on your Facebook page and say bad things about you. Do you ever think about that? You invite them into your house and then they hoist their leg when they're in the house. But I've come to realize that a lot of this stuff is going on because people do not want to be confronted with the truth. And I'm talking about Christians, okay? Did I say John 5? Okay, that's what you got it up there for me, Jared. This is really, really good. I think this is really good. Now, everybody's not going to see this in the same way that I did. Time out. Those of you who are troubled, you are troubled because you do not want to face the truth that a lot of what they've told you is not true. It troubles you. I've told you a number of times, you don't have to watch it. You can go watch something else. What I bring to you and I lay on the table, I never say to you, this, you have got to believe this. This is the way it is. In fact, we're getting ready to do the ordination process. I don't care what your theological beliefs are. I don't care what they are. You're going to stand before the Lord and you're going to give an account for everything that you did, right? So therefore, I'm not going to be standing over the top of you, making sure that you submerge rather than sprinkle, or the talk in tongues or don't talk. I ain't going there with you. But I want you to know, as Robert just said, that when truth is revealed to you, brother, you gotta make a choice. You gotta make a decision. And that really makes people uncomfortable. So in John 5, is that where we are? Are you with us today, Joe? I'll let your silver pipes get going here if you are. I didn't even notice to see if you're in there today. Is he with us? I don't see him. Maybe he's not. Okay, well, I'll read today.
Nope.
Okay, I'll read. Maybe he couldn't get in. Sorry, Silver, you couldn't get in.
Bring back Weaver.
I'll bring back. Well, you read out of that sissy Bible, Roger. If you want to read, I'll let you read, okay? Boy, did I get, I'm sorry, because I just looked
Where
at,
are we?
I just, we're in John 5. I just looked at the scripture. Yep. Oh, I forgot where we were on Friday, okay? Man, did I get some pushback on the Jews. Wow! Oh, boy. Here we go, Roger. We're at John 5, verse 1.
Sometimes later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews.
What are you reading after? What are you reading out of?
I'm in John 5, New Testament.
What version?
NIV Life Application Study Bible.
Okay, well, read what's on the screen. Can I tell you why? Because for us to all get along here, we all have to read from the same version. Mm-hmm. Unless we want to cross check, we can do that. I don't mind if you bring another version as to say it. But up on our screen is the King James Version. So if everybody's reading the same words, this makes our job a lot easier. Because when you start reading that German, it's hard for me to follow along with you. Okay. Okay. Here we go. Now Roger's going to try to read. He's going to read the big boy Bible here. Go ahead, Roger.
After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of important folk, of blind,
impotent folk, a lot of sick people. Don't miss this! Don't miss this! A lot of sick people hanging around the church. A lot of sick people hanging around the holy place. Go ahead, Roger.
Impotent folks, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water.
Lord Jesus. Go ahead.
For an angel went down at certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole for the disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 30 and 80 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole?
Wow. Do you understand? Hang on a minute. Do you understand what the Lord just asked him? Hey, dude, do you really want to be healed? Or are you just kind of hanging out here? You just kind of hanging out? You really want to be whole? Keep going, Rod.
The impotent man answered him, sir, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool.
Well, it's all I can do not to preach. Go ahead, Rod.
Verse 8. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up the bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed.
Wow. What snakes.
Made me whole the same day, said unto me, take up the bed and walk. Then asked they him, which had said unto thee, take up the bed and walk.
Who said that to you, dude? Who told you to take up your bed and walk?
And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed to himself away, a multitude being in that place.
So he couldn't find Jesus. And he didn't really know who Jesus was, but he knew he wasn't standing in the crowd because Jesus had left.
Findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee.
Boy, do you hear that in the church? Hey, Pastor Dale, do you hear that in the church? Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Do we hear that in the church? No, we don't. Go ahead.
The man departed, and he told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him. Done these things on the Sabbath day. Jesus answered them, my Father worketh heareth thereto, and I work. Verse 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God.
Okay, let me dive in here, because I'm trying to explain to you something here. Let's go back down to about verse 7, I think it was, Jared. Okay, look. Boy. Go to 1, Jared. Now there is a verse 2. Now there is a Jerusalem sheep market pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. This is around a church. Impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the water to move. Let that sink in. All these people with all these hurtings, all these things around them, they're sitting right by the miracle pool
and the waiting for the water to move.
Amen.
Huh? For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. See, Simon and Garfunkel were wrong, weren't they? They were talking about a bridge over troubled water. Bridge over troubled water. Funny, Jesus here is talking about a path into troubled water. Oh, don't miss off. This is good. For an angel went down a certain season to the pool, and he troubled the water. And whosoever then, first after the troubling of the water, stepped in to the troubled water, didn't avoid the troubled water, didn't take a bridge over it, didn't go around it. They were waiting for troubled water for something great to happen. They were waiting for troubled water for God to do something. God works in troubled water.
Amen.
And a certain man was there who had a infirmity 38 stinking years. And Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he had been laying there a long time. He said, hey, dude, aren't you sick of it yet? You want to be made whole? Huh? You getting attention? People come around feeling sorry for you and dropping nickels in you. Do you really want to be made whole? He said to the guy. Listen, watch this. Watch this. And the impotent man answers and says, well, Lord, sir, I don't have any man to put me in the water. Isn't that something? Always waiting for somebody else to do what we can do ourselves. But we don't want to go into the troubled water. We don't want to do that. No. We want to go around it. Like a bridge over troubled waters, I will lay me down. No, go into troubled waters. Now, Jared, I'm doing this for me this morning, okay? Hey, Jared, go to the stuff I sent you today, if I can get my computer to work here. We can keep that right there, but I want you to go there, Jared. I want you to look up. Well, wait a minute. Let's do another one, Jared. Let's go to Hebrews 10 real quick.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
While I was headed to Hebrews 10, let's look at this little thing there at the Bethsaida, Bethesda pool for a second.
Okay.
You know, people say, well, Jesus healed all. Jesus healed everyone. But he went to this place where there was a whole bunch of sick people. And he asked one of them. He didn't, hey, who wants to be healed here? He went to that specific man.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and people say, but the Bible says other places that Jesus healed everybody. No, it doesn't. It says he healed all those who were brought to him. He didn't go around looking for sick people. That's the one time he went around looking for a sick person. The one time. The rest of the time, the sick were brought to him.
Wow. And isn't it amazing? Guys, I believe this is more prophetic than you're even receiving right now. Some of you are going to have to walk in some troubled water. And, dare I say it, some of you are going to have to trouble some water. You're going to have to. And I'm going to promise you this. The religious world is not going to like it. Do you understand that? And when Jesus heals this man, see, Jesus doesn't put the man into the water because it's not the troubled water that heals the man. Jesus heals the man, right? He said, will you be made whole? So Jesus heals him. And what happens when Jesus heals him? Well, all of a sudden, the religious folks get mad. Why? Because they're more interested in method than they are miracle. They didn't like the way he did it. Because they didn't like the way he did it, they couldn't deny what he had done. So they said, we got to kill this dude. We got to find some way to get rid of this guy. It's right there in the scripture. And so many of us, I believe, me, I'm a troubler of water. I don't know. Is it a sickness?
I don't think it's a sickness. I think it's anointing. I think it's an anointing. I'm a troubler of water. And I'm in Hebrews 10. Did I say that? Hebrews 10. Hey, guys, so are some of you. So are some of you. Because I have troubled a lot of water here, and some of you have been healed. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I've troubled some water. Some of you stepped into the water, and you've never been the same. Yes
amen,
or no?
Amen, Coach. Amen. Thank you.
Now, a lot of people still looking for that bridge over it, aren't they? They're still looking for that bridge over that water. They don't want to go in there. But we see very clearly that these sick people, I'm talking church now, they're all gathered outside the church just waiting for somebody to do something to them or for them. All of them just waiting. If somebody just come down and trouble that water a little bit, boom, the first guy in gets a healing. And this one dude's been sitting there 38 years faithfully sitting in his church, and there ain't nobody doing nothing for him because he's supposed to do some of it for himself. 38 years? You wouldn't slink down a little closer to the water? You wouldn't be right down on the edge? As soon as that thing started bubbling, you'd roll in. You wouldn't do that? See, some people are perfectly content in their blindness, perfectly content in their ignorance, perfectly content. And when I come along, like I did on Friday, and started to talk a little bit about not all Israel's Israel, oh, boy, we need a bridge here. Get us a bridge or some troubled water here. There's waves here. And those who have the truth to open up their, those who have the courage to open up their eyes and simply look at the truth. It's good, isn't it? I know it is. I've been feeling this one all morning. I don't know what happened. Hang on here.
Amen, Coach.
I'm trying to answer this right now. Let's see. Yeah, Matt. You're on, Matt.
Hey, Dave. Just listening to your, I can't get on right now. But anyway, just wanted to make a comment about the bridge over troubled water thing.
Yeah.
If you keep following that through to John 5:14, I think part of the message that Jesus was trying to get across there is all these people to think that God doesn't punish anybody, or you know, God doesn't send any problems. Here's 5:14. Read 5:14.
Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee.
That's right. A worse thing. Now, could you imagine 38 years you've been suffering? 38 years, and Jesus said, if you don't stop sinning, something worse is going to happen.
Wow.
To you. What the heck could be worse than 38 years of misery?
Oh, my goodness, my
but
goodness.
Jesus is... Stop thinking about it. We think we got troubles. Here's a guy that spent 38 years, and Jesus was saying, if you don't stop sinning, it's going to get worse for you.
Amen. Hey, Matt, thanks for troubling those waters today, man.
Have a great day, man.
Thanks, brother. Thanks. See, that's what I like about this queue. There are a lot of water troublers out there. And I think this has happened right now. I think some of you are running into, I think you're finding some waters and you're troubling them all around you. I think it's happened. And you don't even feel maybe good about doing it. Why did I say that? Lord, do I have to say that? Can somebody say amen? Are you finding yourselves in situations where something's bubbling inside of you and you say, doggone, okay. And you speak and you say something that
amen.
Really you don't want to say?
Amen.
Huh? You're troubling some waters. But what happens after the water gets troubled? Healing comes to those who will get in it. And I want to show you something else. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Where are we? Are we in Hebrews 10? Roger, I'd let you read this, but I want to scurry through this pretty quick. Hebrews 10. And Jared, let's start in verse 14. No, start in 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I'm going to put my law in their hearts and in their minds, and will write them, and their sins and iniquities I will remember them no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. We're talking about troubled waters here. Having therefore, brothers, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us
through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, stay with me, let us draw near with a true heart in assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession. Jared, what is a, oh Lord, profession and confession are not the same thing. Profession and confession are not the same thing. Let's pull that up there, Jared. What's a profession? A profession. Not a job. The act of taking the vows of religious community. An act of openly declaring or publicly claiming a belief or a faith. That is a profession. A profession. Thus saith the Lord, and I declare it. Now, Jared, what's a confession? Because they are not the same. A confession is what? A statement, a written or acknowledgement of guilt by a party accused of an offense, or a formal statement of religious beliefs. So you can make a confession, but never make a profession. Did you? Oh, you missed that. You can make a confession, but never make a profession. And the profession, boys and girls, brings troubled water. The profession, not the confession. The profession. Wow.
Amen.
Go back to Hebrews. This is deep. I don't know if some of you are swimming in this water yet or not. This is deep. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, confession, and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he that is faithful that promised. Watch this. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good work. To profess and provoke. Profess and provoke. Not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as we see the day approaching. We are to provoke and to profess, or to profess and to provoke. Now, Jerry, what does provoke mean? Provocation. Coach say, hey, coach, you're a provocateur. The daggone right I am. Daggone right. I'm a stirrer of troubled waters. I'm a creator of troubled waters. I'm heading somewhere. So what's to provoke? To arouse to a feeling or action. To incite to anger. What did I just say there in Hebrews, Jared? I want to make sure I'm not taking this out of context. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love. That's what the church does. They say they do. They provoke unto love. But my read this, it says, let us consider one another to provoke to good work. You know where the good works are? In the troubled water. We want to bridge over it or bypass around it. But it's in the troubled water that the profession of your faith is going to bring healing to, oh man.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
We're supposed to burn bridges, not build them.
I've done a few of those, Rich. Sometimes you build them and sometimes you burn them. Sometimes you got to do both, right? So, right? So, I'm going to stop a minute. Jared, I got four words. One, two, three, four. We've already discovered provocateur. Jared, what does it mean to discriminate? I've got four words here on the stuff I sent you. I'm showing you some of our greatest problems. Jump in here at any time. What's it mean to discriminate? To mark or perceive the distinguishing of a peculiar features of. I'll try that again. Or verb number two, to distinguish by discerning or exposing differences. To recognize or identify as a separate and distinct. To discriminate right from wrong, especially to distinguish from one another
to distinguish from another like object, discriminate the individual voices in the choir. Hey, boys and girls, is discrimination wrong? Is it bad? Is discrimination bad? Is it? Because that's one of the words they throw at you. You discriminate. You discriminate. You daggone right, I do, don't you? You don't discriminate. You don't determine the difference between something that's good and something that's bad. See, that's what they don't want you to do anymore. They don't want you to do it. I'm trying to discriminate all the time. I'm trying to provoke unto love and good works. I'm trying to do a profession of my faith, not just a confession. I can confess in private. You can't profess, by the way. Woo! Are universities full of confessors or professors? And what are the professors doing? Yeah, they're teaching their doctrine to your children. Public schools, are they confessors or professors? Huh? Hmm? Tolerance, diversity, equality, non-discrimination. Again, folks, made up words. Now, I'm telling you this because I'm going to take you to my Facebook page here in a minute. And to me, this is all Bible stuff, man. This is all Bible stuff. I got Jared jumping on. I went on a, Trump would call it a Twitter rant, except I don't know how to do Twitter rant. I don't know how to tweet. I don't do that. I have a Twitter account. I think maybe Jared does that for me sometimes. Maybe I ought to tweet more. I don't know. But I didn't get to do a show on Sunday. I didn't do a show, so I was bubbling inside, and I had to get some of the stuff out of me. So I went on a Twitter rant, a Facebook rant. I just began to post memes. And every one of the memes I posted troubled the water. What do you think I began to hear back? People don't like the water to be troubled. They began to, I'm a troublemaker. You just like to divide. You are racist. You pick the word, right? So I didn't deny any of that except trace racist. That doesn't even mean. I'm a provocateur. Now, I want you to go on a little journey here with me, if we can. Remember, hey, Rich, we're to provoke the love and good works. Robert, we're to provoke the love and good works, right? And what did Matt share with us right there? That says, if you don't stop sinning, it's going to be worse than 38 years of laying here by this pool trying to get healed. If you keep sinning, it's going to be worse for you. Something worse is going to come upon you, right? So what do? I trouble them. Because here's what it is. Jared, do more. Two more things. I'm sorry if it feels like I'm all over the place. I know where I am in my heart. Jared, what's it mean to be programmed? And that one, isn't that the next word I put up there? We know what discriminate means, to determine good and evil, right and wrong. Who's for you, who's against you. That's a smart thing to do, by the way. It's a very, very smart thing to do. And to be programmed, to program means what? A plan or system under which action may be taken toward a goal, or a sequence of coded instructions that can be inserted into a mechanism, or such as a computer, or such as a brain. Huh? To be programmed to think and respond to certain data. Is Mark Trump with us? Is Mark Trump there? Boy, there he is. Hey, Mark, what's programming? Help me out here a little bit, Mark. What's programming?
It's just shaping the variables, the input, to achieve a desired output. So you can do it in different ways. In a code, you know, you got instructions. If it's children, you'll coach them with the learning objectives to achieve a desired goal. You're programming them. In schools, you would feed them a certain amount of rhetoric out of our, you know, books in school, whatever's dictated to be programmed into our children. I mean, that's really the term used.
So, Mark, are we being programmed, government, good or bad? What are we being programmed?
I think we're being distracted. I think we're being programmed to look the other way.
Well, okay. All right.
There's a lot going on, and they don't want us to know the truth.
So all right. So
we're being programmed to really not have to use the truth in our daily dialogue. I'll give you an example.
Here's what the Holy Spirit just said to me. Hang on, Mark.
Turn back over to you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the fact that society does not need any sort of truth for an argument. They can take the simplest thing they see on TV without any backing, without any history, without any references, and they're programmed immediately to repeat that.
Racist! Just like, racist! Yeah. Right?
That's it. I mean, that's it. That we're being programmed not to have to hear the truth any longer.
You know what the Holy Spirit just whispered to me? He said, my people are being trained to confess but not profess. Keep your faith to yourself. Keep it to yourself. And no matter how much you keep it to yourself, you ain't professing it. You ain't spreading it. Boy, this is good, man. So we're programmed. I'm going to show you here. Rod. We're programmed.
Let me just ask a little bit. We are hit so much with unity for love and good works. Unity
programmed
for love.
Here
in the church, unity for love and good works. When clearly there is a role, as you have read here, or troubling the waters for love and good works.
Roger, I provoke out of love. People may not think so, but I do. I'm provoking out of love. I'm trying to shake people out. I'm trying to shake them out of the pit they're stuck in. I'm trying to provoke them to open their eyes and look around and think for yourself.
Hey,
and
Coach,
pick up the Bible and read for yourself in the Bible. Some of the stuff they told you isn't there. It's not there. You have been programmed. Yes.
Yeah, you know, let's put together what Roger just said and what you just said. Roger.
Yes.
The unity is being preached and taught out there, and unity is very, very important. But they are talking about unity of the universe, everything, everybody. The Bible clearly says unity of the faith. A narrow strip in there needs to be unified.
The gospel according to Rodney King. Why can't we all just get along? That's what's being preached out there. And at the same time that they're preaching that to us, they are programming us not to get along. And when they're telling us not to discriminate, they're teaching us to discriminate.
But
you go from out of within, what?
But within the church, there is the constant battle cry of unity within the church. And so there is no discussion of provoking within the church. It's just, which is just nothing more than a control mechanism.
Hmm. Well, that's the way I see it.
Roger.
And so
that church you go to, I've never stepped foot in it, but I will guarantee you the Spirit just knocked this in my spirit. I will guarantee you when they're talking about unity in your church sitting there, they're not talking about just you people. They are talking about your church getting along with the world outside, your church sharing its blessings with the devil's people outside. They're talking about a bigger unity than the core of believers.
And man, oh man, oh man.
Could be.
Jared, what's it mean to be brainwashed? Kevin Bushy just texted me, said there's a fire at Trump Tower. Fire at Hillary's? No, a fire at Trump Tower. Wow. Brainwash. Program. Brainwash. Brainwashing. What is that? Brainwashing. A forcible indoctrination to induce someone to give up basic political, social, religious beliefs and attitudes and to accept contrasting regimented ideas.
Hey,
brainwashing.
Coach,
yeah. Yes, Serge.
I just watched a video the other day, Saturday or Sunday. It's 15 minutes long. Former president of Facebook and a bunch of executives from Facebook. They don't work there anymore. But they all admit that that's the main reason why what Facebook is doing. It's programming. They know that they can change the brain waves of everyone. And they're coming out and admitting it now.
Yep. And it's been their whole goal.
Yes.
And we found out, I don't want to get into politics, but we know that this Schmidt guy who ran Google, he resigned, right? He resigned. Why did he resign? Well, there's a big reason why he resigned, and it has to do with asset forfeitures, whatever. There's something really, really crazy big going on, see? And it's because, did you know that Google set up all of its algorithms, I say that right, set up all their data so that Hillary would be elected. Schmidt led all of that. Facebook was involved in all of that because it's programming, it's brainwashing. And we ask ourselves, with all the people that are on Facebook all day long and all the people that are on social media all day long, you tell me they're not programmed? You tell me they're not programmed? You tell me they're not controlling the way we think? Why can't we all just get along? Who are you to judge? Be tolerant, diverse, don't be hateful. You're racist. You're bigoted. Over and over and over and over on Facebook. Just go on Facebook. That's why I want to show you this morning, because I want you to be very, very careful. I want to, Jared, jump to the Facebook page real quick. So I went on this Twitter rant, although that's probably not what they call them. And I had about 10 of them here. I just ask common sense questions. Yes, I am a provocateur. Yes, I admit it. I am. And I'm trying to provoke people to love and to good works, to open their eyes and to think, to see how they have been programmed. And if you want to spend some time, go on my Facebook page and read what people say. Oh my Lord. Keep going down there, Jared. I'll tell you when to stop. I've even stuck some of them up there this morning. Keep on going. Keep on going. Are you on my personal Facebook page? I mean, you may have to go to. Yeah, there you got to go, buddy. There you go. Going past that one. Going. Keep on. I put that one up there today. Every man dies, but not every man truly lives. Oh, there was another good one. Keep on going. Keep on going. Here we get ready. Here we go. Get ready, because man, did this. This is what I do, and this is what I'm encouraging you guys to do. Ask questions. Plant seeds. Stay right there. Drop breadcrumbs. Here's one I put up. You can get on all these. They just go on and on and on. The people that get engaged and argue back and forth and call me names. I said the Dead Sea's dead because nothing flows out, merely in. Sounds like a lot of churches. Just move on. Go to the next one, Jared. There's about 10 of them. Stay with me. Provoking them to love and good works. I said, I hope Hillary lives a while. Her early demise would bring cries to stop the investigating that Clintons have suffered enough. I'm going to tell you this. Something's going to happen to her, and that's what they're going to say. We got to stop the investigation. The Clintons have heard. They've been heard enough. That's coming. Keep going. Keep going. Here we go. Oh, this really gets them going. Racist, you bigot. Hillary loves Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is racial genocide. 90% of blacks voted for black genocide. Not very Christian. Oh, I'm a bigot. I'm just stating the facts. Coach, why are you stirring up trouble? Well, then the good thing is, as you read down through those, some people are starting to get it. Their eyes are starting to open. What if some black guy reads it and says, wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know Planned Parenthood was racial genocide. What does that mean? And what if he has a little bit of initiative and he Googles and he finds out that, what if he finds out? The eugenics movement was designed to get rid of blacks. What is it? Yeah.
They're not recognizing truth when they first read it. And then when they start to argue with it, they realize it's truth and they're already caught. They're already caught by the truth.
And then they get mad.
That's right.
Then they get mad.
Because of the truth, heaven forbid. They've
been programmed to believe this. Go to the next one, Jared. You want to spend some time. Go on these things. Look at this. Clinton Foundation robbed from Haiti relief. Haiti is 95% African black. 90% of black Americans voted for Hillary. Self-destruction. Now, guys, can you find one racial thing in there? Something that's not true that I said there? But when I say it, what am I? I'm divisive. Oh, you're divisive. Why do you keep bringing up race? Come on, man. It's just truth.
Hey, honey.
You know that, right? The Clinton Foundation robbed millions and millions and millions of dollars from Haiti relief.
Mm-hmm.
And who's that money going to? It's going to the blacks over in Haiti. Clinton's robbed them. 90% of blacks vote for him. Keep going. Let's go next one. I'm sorry if you think this is boring. I'm trying to get people to think. Only two races, those racing for heaven, race for hell. That's because somebody can accuse me. Go to the next one, Jared. Guys, you can do this stuff too. Oh, here it is. Here it is. Remember we were talking about the Jews? Remember we were talking about all that stuff, huh? Oh, this, you want to spend some time. You want your toes to curl. Go visit here. Why do so many children born to biracial parents identify as black? Is Vince with us? Vince isn't with us today. Is this racist? Is this racist? Hey, guys, is this a racist question?
I don't know, man. I don't think so.
Oh, no. Is this the truth or not? Is this the truth or not?
Yeah, it is.
Huh? Amen.
Now, Barack Obama, let me get this right. Barack Obama, guys, I'm talking about programming, and I'm talking about truth here today. I'm talking about provoking others unto good works, and I'm talking about helping people begin to think rightly again. That's what I'm talking about. Barack Obama supposedly had a black father who deserted him. He was raised by a white mother and white grandparents in a white community, and he identifies as black. Now, somebody tell me that one. You would not believe if you go down through there how many people call me names. Bigot, racist. Why are you pointing it out? I'm asking a question. Go to the next one, Jared. If so many Christians are pro-life, why is Planned Parenthood still funded? Go to the next one, Jared. These are all done 24 hours ago. If whites are so racist, why don't 90% of them vote for the white guy? That's a pretty good one, isn't it? If whites are so racist, why don't 90% of them vote for the white guy? Go to the next one. Good stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
How about this? Only fake Christians can't see Obama as a fake Christian. Man in the mirror. Hillary, too. McCain, too. Ryan, too. Christians can't recognize other Christians. And then what do people say? They say, oh, well, who are you to judge somebody's salvation? One guy said, that's above my pay grade. I said, really? Fruit inspection's not above mine. It isn't above my pay grade. You see the power of these things? You see, we have to shake paradigms. We have to shake brainwashing. We have to shake programming. If we don't shake and challenge and wake up people, we have no chance. And I got to tell you something, you fellow provocateurs, they're not going to like you for it. But I'm also encouraged as I read down through there, people are starting to get it. Go to the next one, Jared. I don't know how many more there are. If you're born that way, get born again. I'm going to make a T-shirt out of that one. That'd be a good T-shirt, wouldn't it? If you were born that way, get born again. Oh, I'm a bigot. Go on, go on, go on.
That's good. That's good.
I know it is. Silence is agreement. Open your mouth. Speak the truth. Only truth sets us free. Stop towering. And that's what I'm encouraging to do. To provoke to love and to good works. Provoke to love and to good works. Fellas, let's provoke to love and good works. I don't care what they say about me. I don't care whether they like me or not. I don't care if I get invited to their church. Go to the next one. Apostle Paul said, do I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Go on, next one. Oh, I was so brainwashed. African Americans still support Obama. Colorblind and color focused. The pulpits promote loyalty to color over loyalty to Christ. Now, is that racist or is that true?
Truth.
Somebody's got to say it.
Amen.
See if there's another one, Jared. Obama was a foreign government agent. They convinced you he was black. Color's irrelevant. Loyalty is crucial. We're a nation of fools. Is that racist?
Amen.
Huh?
That's the truth.
That is the truth, baby. That is the truth. That's the truth. You won't find one in 100 black people that will admit that right there. Not one in 100 will admit it. Why? Because of politics of race. They've programmed us. We have got to trouble some water, boys and girls. We got to trouble some water. See if there's another one, Jared. I think there's another one. You said, Coach, you needed something to do this weekend. I know. To deviate is to veer off of the norm. Deviant, not normal. Sexual deviance. Kevin Spacey, Bruce Jenner.
The Holy Spirit was controlling you this weekend.
This is good stuff, isn't it? Isn't this good stuff? I'm just stating facts. I'm just stating the facts, and people don't want it. Go to the next one.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to share all these. I don't go on Facebook that often, but I'm going to share them all.
Stop buying the propaganda. Think for yourself. Easy to connect the dots if you take time to think, sheeple. Keep going. I was on a roll, wasn't I?
Yeah, you were.
How about this one? This really ticks them off. Kevin Spacey liked boys, but Weinstein preferred women. Was Corey Feldman molested by women? Why not? Mm. Keep going. Got another one. Have you noticed that most pedophiles in Hollywood are men on young boys? Isn't that an odd way for heterosexuals to behave? They don't even know what to say. They're so programmed.
Yeah.
I'm going to provoke them to love and to good works. I think there's one more, Jared.
Okay.
Everyone can go. Oh, no, this is it. Everyone can go out and spray all of your aerosol cans, and maybe we can restart global warming. That's where that's where I started. That's where I started. Okay, let's open the table up here. Fellas, do you understand what I'm trying to say? If you go down there and read the reactions, people are so angry with something that is simply true. It's just true, and they're angry about it. See, truth doesn't have a color. Truth doesn't have an ideology. Truth doesn't have two sides. Truth is truth. And our job is to be professing the faith, to speak boldly and clearly and loudly the truth. And our churches are not being taught to profess. Come on in. Somebody come on in. Help me out here.
Hey, I got a question.
Yeah.
Now, 1 John says the Spirit is truth, right? And if
yes.
you talk bad, if you reject the truth and you talk bad about the truth, Scripture also says the unpardonable sin is rejecting
the truth, the Holy Spirit. Yes, sir. That's right. That's right.
The state of most Christianity today.
They're programmed to say they're
rejecting the Holy Spirit.
They have programmed us, Rich, into not hearing his voice. It's a lot of noise. It's a lot of noise. Unless you are in tuned, you will not hear the voice of God. That's why he said, my sheep hear my voice. Not everybody, Larry, not everybody hears his voice. Not everybody does. Not everybody sitting in your church hears his voice. Yeah.
Coach, isn't it funny they call television predictive
programming?
No coincidence.
Yep. Television program. Why? Because they're trying to put something into you, right? So we were talking a little bit before we even went on the air. What we got here? We got 7 minutes. Before we went on the air, we are constantly setting our children up to be programmed. Do you have any idea what your kids are taught in public school? Any idea? I have people celebrating today because it's going to be a snow day, it looks like. So the kids aren't going to go to school. So they're not going to be programmed. Do you have any idea what your kids were going to be taught today? Any idea at all? Do you have any idea what they're... I'm sure you don't. Can I ask you something else? Do you have any idea what they're teaching your child in Sunday school? Do you have any idea? The Sunday school teacher... And what the Sunday school teacher is teaching your second grader, third grader, fourth grader, any idea what's being taught to your kid in Sunday school? So we've done it to ourselves. And I can tell you this, and I say this to Roger and some other guys I know that I'm dealing with. If you are a provocateur, if you are provoking others to love and good works, they ain't going to have you around long. Because they have a set plan and a set program and a set box, and anybody who does not follow into that agenda inside that box, you're sowing discord amongst the brethren, and you're not in unity, and all you're doing is raising up and saying, hey, listen, we got a leak over here. There's a leak over here, and they don't care about the leak. They don't care about it.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Remember last week we did communion, and it got to the part where it said, let each man examine himself. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Shakespeare put it this way. He says, to thine own self be true. Mm-hmm. Let each man examine himself for truth. And that's what you're talking about is, hey, here's truth. I've got to, I see it. Now do I face it and accept it, or do I keep my head in the sand? But the interesting thing is, and I haven't caught this in the 30-something years I've been doing communion that way and using this section of Scripture. It says in the next verse after that, it says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthy. So we're examining ourselves for our worthiness. It says, and eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Okay. It says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you. Now, I've always in the past thought that meant physical malfunction or something, you know, which it does, because that's the sickly part. But the weak part, spiritual weakness.
Because they don't want no troubled water, Larry. They don't want no troubled water. So I never ought to say it. So I said to one of these folks, I'm a provocateur, right? I said on my Facebook page, you can find it. So you think that race is the only thing people are discriminated for? Race? I said, when's the last time you saw a big fat woman with buck teeth on Fox News? It's okay to discriminate against fat people or short people, skinny people, ugly people. You can discriminate against them all you want to. But see, we're so focused on race, aren't we? Do you see what they've done to us? Do you see how good they've been at what they do? When you think of discrimination, boys and girls, I promise you think of race. I promise you. I mean, that's not even what it means. Discriminate means what? Discerning between good and evil.
3 minutes. Come on, somebody jump in here. Full house today. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, that discrimination, it all boils down to who are the hour for when we pray our Father. Who are we praying with? Who can legitimately, biblically claim God, the creator of the universe, as their Father? And it all comes down to learning to discern, which is a word that descends from this word discriminate, who learns to discern good from evil, like you just said.
Amen. Amen. I can't tell you the number of things that I say this the right way. Remember times I've been discriminated against professionally because of my faith. But see, Christians are okay with that, right? We're okay with that. Oh, poor guy.
Hey, Coach.
Aww. Yeah.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
In the South, we call it stirring the gumbo, and you were the stick from Ohio that stirred it. Now, the understanding behind stirring the gumbo is this, and it has a lot of prevalence in what you're saying today. The reason why you stir gumbo, otherwise all the goods, the proteins, and the meats will fall to the bottom of the pot and burn to keep the churning going, to keep this stuff bubbling up to the top.
Unbelievable, Dale. What a picture that is, huh? And where are we in modern Christianity? We want all that good stuff to settle down the bottom and be burned up. It looks like gumbo, but it ain't really gumbo. Looks healthy for you, but all the nutrition's been taken out of it.
It becomes watered broth at that point. It becomes watered broth, and everything that is good becomes burnt at the bottom. At the top, actually, is worthless anyway.
Man, oh man, oh man. So I want to encourage you. We're running out of time here. I want to encourage you. That's the call, brothers. That is the call. Because if we continue to remain silent in the face of these lies, if we don't try to break through this programming, we're going to find ourselves with a very small amount of people who are on our side. But I was encouraged by some of these memes, whatever they call those things that I threw out there. There are a lot of people whose eyes are beginning to be open. Right?
And you just think about this. From a year ago today to where we are today, wonder how many people's opinion of government is changing. Because why? Somebody's troubling those waters. There's some stuff going on. God bless you. Provoke them to love and the good works. We'll see you tomorrow.